Four ninjas roll in, one ninja roll out. Four ninjas roll in, one ninja roll out.
Drop the links and grab some drinks, y'all. We got Mad Quattro and hot dance moves because we just watched FP2, Beats of Rage, and it's time for a beat-off on B-Movie Mania, y'all!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
This is B-Movie Mania, dog, where sometimes shit's tough, but we're going to help your ass through it together. I'm J to the A, son, and with me, representing the 630, is the banana boy, Crazy C-Hut.
I had nothing planned for this, yo. I don't know what I'm supposed to say right now, dog.
All right, over here next to this part of my ass in the 312 is M. Hay.
What's up, most sucking bitch?
And way out by the sea of wet shit in the 323 is my main mystical hype man, P-Bro.
187, yo.
All right, beat beaters.
Beat beat.
Is FP2 one of the best dance movies of all time?
Wow. Putting it out there right off the bat.
I'm asking the question. It's a question.
Oh, second best dance movie of all time.
You like Dirty Dancing?
Step Up's pretty good.
Step Up.
I thought the original FP was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. It was good. So I guess we're going to compare the two at this point. We watched FP2 Beats of Rage, written and directed again by J. Tro himself, Jason Trost. Does anybody want to hit me with the synopsis, dog?
I mean, it's been a whole bunch of 365s, and you know, the FP, Fraser Park, is like out of booze. It's almost gone now. It's on, you know, rations for the booze, the Quantro, yep, if you will. And so,
the booze mines have dried up.
Yeah, it's the mines, it's just going nowhere, you know. And then shit goes down in the FP, so J-Tro and KCDC got to go out to the wastes and do some beating to get more booze for the FP.
Yeah, so J. Tro goes out to the wasteland to compete in the Beats of Rage underground tournament and face the villain AK-47 and hopefully save the world. I don't want to let these beats get stank, y'all, so let's QT.
Quick takes!
P-Bro, keep it cheap and cheerful.
I can do that. Well, you know what? The first thing you see in this movie is like a warning that says, 3-drink minimum required to enjoy this movie. So, you know what, guys? Hold on. There it is.
Paul just poured 3 shots.
I think 3-drink minimum to enjoy this podcast as well. Cheers.
One quick takedown, shitlords. Yes. Shitloads, more to go, yo.
C-Hut.
Right, you want a QT, yo? You want a QT, dog? I'll get you one up better, does?
What?
I'm terrible with the slang in this movie, but I do have one thing better than a quick take for you, Jay.
Okay.
It's something I like to call Wayland Facts.
Oh, we're doing a bit already for your quick take? Okay, all right.
I'm getting in here early. Early and often.
I'll let this happen, dog.
All right, so Sean Whalen, who played Stacy's dad in the first FP movie and has a cameo in the FP2, Beats of Rage, was also in the very first Got Milk commercial in 1993. What? Now, this commercial was not only directed by Michael Bay, but it also inspired Lin-Manuel Miranda to create a hit musical about an Alexander Hamilton fanatic that ate a peanut butter sandwich at the wrong moment. Of course, Miranda couldn't find funding for that sort of thing, so he was convinced to write a musical about Alexander Hamilton himself instead. Wayland Facts.
Huh. So what you're trying to say is that Sean is connected to all of this.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Interesting. Well, I don't know where Mike went.
Yeah, where are you, Mike?
Hey, what up, my ninjas?
Oh,
oh, shit.
Wow, he's even got a costume.
What up? I'm here with my Four Loko right here, bitch. I'm going to drink it up.
I love this. I wish our listeners could see. M. Hay has a bandana and some goggles and a, what is that, like a Walgreens red nose?
No, this is my fucking beat nose, bitch. You want to hear my QT about this?
QT, it
is
dog.
That this movie is straight up El Pollo Loco.
Nice. Yes, my quick take. This movie is the anti-187 mad dope opposite of whack.
Mm-hmm.
I took a photo of Mike, so listeners, if you're at bmoviemania.com, you can go click down below and see what Mike looks like tonight.
Really going the extra mile.
Guys, this Four Loko is going to give me a heart attack. I mean, there's not caffeine in it anymore, but like, it just tastes like sugar.
Well, that's because they replaced it with heroin, Mike.
Oh, oops.
Well, can we just, let's get into some FP2. Yes, we discussed the warning up front that the film, I think this is the first movie that we've had that has a warning up front that you need a 3-drink minimum or any drink minimum.
You know what? I thought that was absolute horseshit.
Why?
Because you don't need any drinks. You can watch this shit sober and it's fucking great.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. Yeah.
So
it was awesome.
So J-Tro, listen, man, I know that was a joke. It's supposed to be funny, but I think it was maybe a little bit of a mask of a little bit of self-deprecation about the piece of art you've made. Fuck off, man. This movie's fucking great. Don't sell yourself short. No drinks required, but have fun with as many as you want. Get fucking drunk off that Quattro.
Yep. P-Bro, why don't you talk a little bit about what the world is like these days in the FP2?
I'm really confused by this whole thing, to be honest with you. What I was trying to figure out is whether or not the FP, which stands for Fraser Park, it's always confusing as to exactly what the sort of like socioeconomic dichotomy is in this place, because it kind of, sometimes it kind of looks like post-apocalyptic and sometimes there's just like regular cars on the street.
Yeah, it's a lot more vivid in this one.
That's what it looks like in real Fraser Park. Paul, you should go visit it. It's in California. That's where J-Tro and B-Tro grew up.
It did look very California. I figured it was somewhere in California, yeah.
It's by the Sea of Wet Shit. And kind of southeast of the bullshit nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of by Baco, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. This one, it's supposed to be presented much more post-apocalyptic.
That's weird to me because there's a shot early on where J-Tro is walking down the street and it looks like just a totally normal suburb.
Love it. There's cars in the background. Just love it. Love it.
And that's kind of like endearing in a way because I'm sure this will come up at some point. They shoot these movies for next to no money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crowdfunding is a big part of all of these movies. And we should just say right now that J-Tro is currently shooting part 3 and 4.
So
he's found a little groove, you know, and a little bit of success with these. And I, for one, am happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did you guys notice in the movie that there's kind of a subtle, I didn't notice this till the second time I watched it, kind of a subtle undercurrent of people not liking water and almost like being afraid of it?
I don't think it's very subtle.
No? Okay.
I think it's the all the relation to the ducks. Ducks and water.
Ducks need water. Humans don't.
You got to save it for the ducks. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because KCDC says he's allergic to water.
Yo, drink some water.
Get that wet shit out of my face.
God damn it, DC. You got to drink something out here.
I'm allergic to that shit.
And nobody ever really wants to get wet. Everyone's kind of afraid to like step in puddles and stuff.
Yeah, was that really in the first one?
I don't recall that, but they are definitely walking out to the waste at some point. And KCDC has this throwaway line where he's like, yo, don't, you know, watch out. You don't want to get that wet shit all over you or something like that. It's just like a puddle probably. Like it's just a complete blow away.
It's just like this real kind of, I thought it was kind of subtle thing where it was just like, people just can't do water anymore.
Well, and the villain even talks about, you know, when the people are trying to maybe starting to grumble about the way he's running things. He's like, you want to be out in that wet shit?
Yeah, you're right. That's true. And Chris, why don't you talk a little bit about AK-47, our villain?
Oh man, AK-47, holy shit.
After I greenlight you, I'm gonna slit every last motherfucking cholo that you ever cared about, one by one, clit by clit, 6 feet deep.
Mike O'Gorman, for those of you who want to look him up.
Oh man, he's so great. He has got like a kind of little samurai kind of like haircut sort of thing, a top knotty kind of thing. He's got a blue like hand painted over his face.
Yeah.
And he kind of goes in and out of between English and Spanish. His boots is up to some tippy toe shit, yo. And
yeah, they're curly. He's got big curly boots.
Yeah. And he is the best beat revelation bastard there is. He's so good.
I love the horns coming off of his back.
Yeah. And oh, the horns, and most importantly, he's a soul taker. Yeah. When he beats you, he takes your fucking boots.
We get more magic, I feel like, in this one, right?
Yeah, there is a little bit of magic too. So he'll steal your soul, and then he steals your souls.
Yeah, yeah. I got off your feet. His look, his character's look is a combination between like a samurai, like Chris said. And then there's also, for some reason, a little bit of Braveheart in there, I feel like. And also...
yeah. It's the hand. The blue hand.
What's his name from Mad Max? Immortan Joe.
Yes, I thought that too. Yeah, definitely.
He really made the movie for me. He was great.
And I you know, if J-Tro or anybody associated with the movie is listening, I truly don't mean this in a bad way. But to me, the aesthetic of the movie is, I would call it garbage punk.
Yeah.
yeah.
Because repurpose all this junk and make it look awesome.
I was going to say the witches that show up, you know, they have their little staves that are made of like tiki torches and garbage patch kid heads, like spray painted. It's so great.
I think actually the most impressive part of this movie, more so than the original FP, is the production design. There is crap crammed into every frame of this movie.
Yeah, and it all just works, I think. The way it looks, they like created this really weird and ambitious world, and they did it for not a lot of money, but I feel like they were really creative with what they had.
Do we have any idea how long it took? Because it's been probably like 7 years since the original FP came out.
I think it was 9 in between.
Wow.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think I remember 2011. I think the first one came out.
Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe it was like 7. It's definitely more like in the sort of 7 to 9 year range. So it was a while.
Yeah. Well, they filmed it in 2008. It didn't get released until 2011. But they did principal photography in 2008. I think one of the cool things about it, like you're talking about, like the set design and all that stuff. The costume design is Jason's sister, Sarah Trost. And she's actually done a whole bunch of cool shit. Like she does the costuming now for like Righteous Gemstones on HBO and a bunch of stuff like that. She's done like for Fantastic Four, you know, a bunch of stuff she's worked on.
So in the movie also, we should not skip over Nitro or Dadtro, if you want to call him, because we do see early on that a young J-Tro, played by J-Tro's real daughter... Right, so she's playing her dad, is sitting on atop Fraser Mountain, and he's getting a lesson in Re-Ninj and in the Rage, just laying out the mythology for us.
Rage and Re-Ninj come from the sky, J-Tro, from the gods of the sky and shit. But Re-Ninj is our god, you heard? But you must respect. The path to the true beat master comes with its ass a riddle. And you must learn the riddle, J-Tro. The riddle of Re-Ninj.
Which I really appreciated I don't remember a lot about the first one, probably because I was really drunk. But they really expanded.
I was just
they
gonna
really
say,
expanded so much.
Like how much
of mythology in the characters.
Mike, maybe, or Jay, maybe you can help me out with this. I tried to go back tonight before we started. And watch the original FP. I got through about half of it. But how much of this stuff is actually mythology in the first one? Like Re-Ninj comes up a lot in the second movie. And what was the other thing you said, Chris? Oh, Rage.
Yeah. That's new this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's new.
Yeah. They get into someone, I think Chai T, who we'll meet later in the film, She mentions that magic is real out here in the wastes. So I think there's it's more of a mythical area, a mystical area, I guess is maybe the better word. And so, you know, that kind of stuff happens and, you know, it's about following that magic and it gets super philosophical by the very end of the film. They really embrace it.
You guys want to know what I found really magical?
What?
Is that J-Tro at the beginning of this movie has given up Beat Revelation and has become a black market like junk dealer selling boppets to teenage girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. To skip it.
Who was that for? Who was that girl?
Was it a skip it?
She just had the snottiest voice ever.
What the fuck is this bullshit?
It's a beep machine. What does it look like?
It's broke as fuck.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta break something to fix it, don't you?
It's pretty great.
It was so amazing.
Yeah, and they present J-Tro like he's 70 years old. They're always calling him grandpa. He's like 40, you know? But, I don't think the people that were playing the kids were that much younger than him, maybe, but it was funny and it worked.
Yeah. I noticed some parallels, though, between sort of his plot line in this one compared to the first one. Like, when I went back and watched it tonight, I didn't realize that, like, Beatro dies really early on in the first one, and then he gives up Beat, like, immediately. So there's kind of some parallels between the two.
And now, Paul, where did you find the first one?
The first one is currently available on Tubi.
Woo!
Yay. So, and also, early in this film, we get to see BLT, which was J-Tro's friend from the first film. He goes up against AK-47, like, right in the beginning. They're having a beat-off.
Yeah.
And over a bunch of booze.
Alright, y'all know the deal. It's make with the booze. Chop, chop. Not so rapido.
AK-47 shows up, and he's in a wheelbarrow, and he's being pushed by a guy named Forklift, who only says Forklift throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And then there's someone else behind him with these gold chains mushing him. So there's Forklift is pushing the wheelbarrow that AK-47 is laying in, and then there's someone else behind the guy pushing that is mushing him with these chains. It is such a weird setup.
Well, and the thing is, dude, AK-47 commits to this, like, weird style of speech so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I really think, in both movies, J-Tro, I assume, is involved in the casting of this, but LEE and AK-47 are both great villains. So
yes.
They're on a roll with finding guys that can play really good villains in their movies.
It sucks a lot because BLT was J-Tro's mentor.
Right.
In the first film, right? He's the guy that trains him, gets him into it, all that kind of stuff. So, but BLT's kind of like worn down these, not worn down, like he's still badass, but like he's out there scrapping for booze for that Quattro. And he's up against, AK-47 comes up to beat his ass. And BLT just fucking gets floppy twat legs and is down.
Oh, boy.
He was
floppy twat legs already.
He was D-U-N done.
Yep. 187.
Yep. So, of course, KCDC, who's listening to this on the radio, they're broadcasting the beat-offs, I guess.
Okay, so for the listener, real quick, they do not hold back on beat-off jokes throughout the whole thing.
No, they do not.
It is, I'll beat you up. Well, I'm going to beat you up. And it's like all this stuff while they're like doing shit trash talk during the beat-offs.
Jay, what's
great.
That line that you like a lot?
Stop trying to beat off. Fucking beat off!
Yeah.
You got to go with my favorite one about the, I hear beating off's only for dudes.
I thought they only let dudes beat off.
Times is changing.
That's pretty good.
Times is changing.
Times is changing.
So, guys, I have a little insight here because when BLT goes down, you know, gets those floppy twat legs, and he just goes 187. As mentioned before, AK-47 like sucks what seems to be the soul, like this blue aura out of the person he beats. Right, he like sucks it out into his hand.
Yeah,
and then takes their shoes off, steals those souls as well. But something that's in a deleted scene on the Blu-ray, it really gets into what's going on here because those big horns you mentioned that come off his back,
yeah,
that's a backpack that the soul stuff is getting sucked into.
Okay.
And they don't show that really in the movie, but they like he's got this backpack, he's keeping everyone's like soul essence in or whatever the fuck it is.
Huh.
Or well, rage maybe or whatever.
Here's something that kind of confused me a little bit about the whole soul issue, because I assume you guys had the subtitles on for this like I did. You really need the subtitles on for
Paul,
this movie.
God Paul, I can't wait to talk to you about part of the subtitles.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I noticed, and I assumed that Jason or somebody from the movie did the subtitles themselves, because
100%.
You know what I'm getting at here. They're all very specific when certain things happen. It's like the subtitles themselves are within the FP universe. Yeah. And whenever they say soul, like whenever a character says soul, it's spelled S-O-L-E, which obviously has to do with like the boots as well, which are really important. So like, is it the actual like human soul, or is it more about like some sort of beat thing? I don't know.
Well, you know, funny thing is when AK-47 takes BLT's boots, his feet are smoking.
Yeah.
When he takes off the boots. So it's possible that it has something to do with like the sole of the feet.
Well, what I thought it was is that when AK takes the boots, he's also taking the beat power out of his victim and adding it to his own.
Kind of like a Highlander thing.
It's a Highlander. There can only be one beat master.
I like that.
I bet installments 3 and 4 will get more into it. But my theory kind of was, after seeing that deleted scene, they just got this bag full of it. And he also, every time he does it, he smells his hand. Like, that's where the blue handprint on his face is how he puts it up every time. And so, like, my theory is kind of, because we get into the fact that there's the Reninj, and that's the god of, like, J-Tro. But then there's the Rage, which is assumedly another god. And so I kind of think maybe as he's beating these guys, he's taking the rage out of them, because they're getting mad as they're fighting and then losing. So he's sucking the rage out, and then he's keeping it, and then he's able to huff it like Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet, because Pabst Blue Ribbon or something, right? And maybe that's why it's blue even. So I just made myself laugh before I could finish my thought.
Well, okay, so while J-Tro hears about his friend's death, and he's not on good terms with KCDC, he pulls out his old beat meat machine, and he's trying it, and then one of the sorcerer women show up. The Ninjawas, I believe.
Yes, that's how you pronounce it in this day of age.
Yes, this political climate. Which we should mention also, speaking of political climate, there's some language in the first film that I'm not going to say because
the N-word.
It's racially charged. Now, I will say, tell me if you guys agree, I never ever got the impression watching the first one that anybody was racist or trying to do anything negative with the language in the first movie. I think it's just part of what they created.
It's not like you're watching True Romance or anything.
Right. But they did scrub that from this movie.
Yeah.
And, it's probably a good move.
It's their sort of attempt to say, look, we understand it's a slightly different time. We're going to tweak things a little bit please don't get upset at us.
Hey, and the slang still worked, you know?
Yeah.
Situational
awareness. Isn't that what you'd say in Army, Chris?
That is what we would say in Army, Jay.
Yeah, there's definitely...
We would say that for Evs.
There's one or more like threads on the internet, whether it's in Reddit or on Twitter or something like that, where Jason Trost, there's fans of his that are mad that he got rid of the language. And he's just like, fuck you. If that's what you care about, I don't want you as a fan. Don't watch my movies. Like,
there you go.
Fuck it. You know?
You know, they have a word for people like that.
What's that?
Racist.
Yeah, racist. Huh? Yeah.
So... J-Tro gets this invitation via, I believe, a plush duck?
Yes. Uh-huh. Although this is not the duck that came in the night. That's later.
Right. And he gets invited to the Beats of Rage tournament in the Wasteland by the Sea of Wet Shit. I think it's by the Sea of Wet Shit.
Hey, well, I mean, he's promised bottomless booze for Revs.
Yes.
So who could really turn that down?
And the thing I love is that earlier in the movie, he's kind of arguing with KCDC, and he's like, why do I always hear about these important things late? Why did I not know BLT was doing beat again and all this stuff? And and KCDC says, well, it's hard to find you when you're living in the past or something like that.
Yeah.
And
that is a big thing.
Then when J-Tro gets this invitation, He just goes and picks up a tin can and talks into it, and KCDC is across the parking lot.
Yeah, it's amazing. He pulls up this giant, like gallon can that you'd have like tomatoes.
It's like
in.
An old coffee can or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then he talks into it, and he's like, "I know you can hear me. You're right out there." And then a camera cuts to him just in the parking lot in a tent.
And I think the line between him is like lights or something. Yeah. Like yeah. The line yeah. in between them lights up. That's kind of cool. It's the simple things. It's really simple that make it work. I think. Let's talk about the Beats of Rage tournament, because this is a big part of the movie, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The Ninjawas. We talked a little bit about the Ninjawas, how they look, which I think they look fantastic. They're really cool looking. And they're sorceress-type people. And yes. they never really establish what kind of building they're in. It just looks like another one of the underground junkie clubs. But you've got all of the tough beaters here.
Yeah. Can I mention my favorite one?
Yes.
And the one that gets probably the most, the one that establishes it, the first one Jade Shore goes up against is maybe my favorite ancillary character in the entire franchise so far. It's Quackajax.
Yeah.
Pronounced or spelled Quakka space Jaxx, Quackajax. And he's got like a duckbill painted on his face. Like no prosthetic duckbill, but just painted with orange on his face. And it is, he's just always like quack, quack.
There were so many duck puns.
I didn't look at the Kickstarter or anything, but there is so much room to do one of those Kickstarter levels where if you donate something, you get in the movie.
They did.
I imagine that there
is. Did they do that?
They did that. Yeah.
Because there's so many opportunities.
Well there was a shot of AK like beating everyone, and I swear it's like 20 people going down.
Oh yeah.
It's so weird.
Can I tell you my favorite one that he beats?
Yeah.
Bitchbox 360.
Yeah, Bitchbox 360 was good.
Here's something that I'm a little confused about, though, when it comes to the beat tournament. When somebody loses, you know, they fall down onto the pad, and there's like this electricity that shoots out of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Sometimes it looks like it kills them, and I couldn't quite tell if that was the case. I mean, they're getting like electrocuted and have to be like dragged off the pad.
Yeah, like, sometimes they die, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I think it's just I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it probably depends on how important they are to the film. And
yeah,
if they need to die or not. Because BLT dies, and BLT's a fucking badass motherfucker, like, but he goes down.
Right.
He goes
well,
6 feet deep.
Well, I think his was an underground beat-off. And this one is a little more above ground.
Oh. You know?
Is it?
Maybe it has.
It's a beat off for the booze.
Hey, I didn't write this down. Do you guys remember who won between Bitch Fist and Paxicle?
Can't say that I do.
Remember.
Can we talk about Dig Dank and Cum Dumpster?
Or maybe Sloppy Honky and
Sloppy Honky.
Chocolate Froyo.
I love Chocolate Fro. It was Chocolate Froyo-Yo.
Froyo-Yo. Yeah, they have this. They do the montage where everyone's dying, and J-Tro's winning, and AK's winning, and then we do meet Chai T, who is one of the sorceresses, right? But she doesn't quite look like
that. She dresses. And, she dresses so we can see her face. All the other Ninjawas have this, like, you know, elaborate thing. You can't see their faces, but you know, Chai T, you can.
Can we back off back up just a little bit, because I want to say I loved the part where J-Tro first notices AK-47.
Yeah.
His question to KCDC was,
"Who the fuck is that clown?"
Yes. The thing about this, man, is like it's somehow the language is clever, but it's also the exact most blunt thing you could say.
Yeah.
It's somehow. Both,
but it totally works.
Yeah,
I think it works.
That's the thing. Like the actors all had to commit to this.
Yeah,
they really like because you could it really poorly.
And I think that's one thing I love about this movie is it's a pretty funny, silly movie, but it's played completely straight.
Mm-hmm.
There is no point where someone winks at the camera or nodding to like, oh yeah, we're all in on the joke too. No, they play it completely.
I don't think it would work if it was tongue in cheek.
Yeah, I agree.
It's very melodramatic.
You get lines like, the tougher they are, the faster I beat off.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I peep yo's beat off tonight.
Yeah. Oh, God. I fucking laughed out loud when that happened. That was Chai Tea, right?
You're peeping Chai Tea right here. I peeped Joel's beat off tonight.
There's an extra layer of, like, funniness when somebody is saying this shit in, like, an Australian accent or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, Paul, why don't you talk to us about Chai Tea a little bit? What's she all about? We said she's a sorceress, but, you know, what's going on with her and J-Trill?
Jay, they prefer Ninjawa. That's how you pronounce it in this cultural climate.
Sorry, Ninjawa. My apologies.
If I understand correctly, Chai Tea is someone who... J-Tro meets at the Wastes as he's out there performing in the Beat Beat tournament. And at some point, we kind of find out that she is connected to AK-47, like either dating him or hanging out with him. But, I mean, J-Tro being J-Tro, she ends up having a little bit of a thing for him as well. So there's kind of a... you know, back and forth struggle here for the affection of Chai Tea. Do I have all that right?
Well, wasn't it like she was there? Because she said she's not there to win the tournament. She's just there to make sure the guys are tough enough. So I thought she was just going to go with the winner.
Yeah, no, that's what I understood too. Because at some point she says she's there to make a strong beat beat baby.
Yeah.
And so,
she wasn't previously with AK?
No, I don't think so. I think she just went with AK because he won.
Well, and I think at the end she says something about how she chose the wrong chosen one or something like that.
Well, obviously she because she did find out that AK-47 had a weak-ass limp dick.
See, that's what I mean. She found that out, so she obviously got close enough to figure that out.
Yeah.
Spoiler, AK-47 wins the Beeps of Rage beat beat match. So,
he
wins the beat off.
Well, it's because, dude, it's because J-Tro was rage dipping and he got.
Yeah, he was rage dipping.
Yeah.
He needed to re-ninja.
He needed to re-ninja and he didn't.
But I do really like Chai T's look. Like her character's look is really cool. She's got sort of like again sort of Japanese like samurai paint makeup, and she's cool. She had one of my favorite lines as well, actually.
She did? Chai Tea did?
She did, yeah. I don't know why I laughed at it so much, but she's talking to him, to J-Tro, and at the end of the conversation, she just goes, G'day, Tro.
G'day, Tro.
Oh, yeah.
That is. Yeah, that's at the end. It's so good. Dude.
I watched this twice and totally missed that. Damn it.
It's subtle. There's so much you can catch the second time.
Hey, Jay, sorry. Producer Alex is flagging me down here. We got to go to commercial.
We are now in a partnership with Night Beast Industries, so they send us commercials that we have to roll every once in a while.
Ooh, yeah.
So check this out, and we'll be right back.
Roll it, Alex.
Oops. Did you spend hundreds of hours on your indie film opus only to realize it isn't sexy? Are your coworkers falling asleep during your presentation? If the answer is yes, visit Night Beast Industries' newest service, EroticStockFootage.com.
EroticStockFootage.com.
EroticStockFootage.com will make your audience shed their clothes and curl their toes. From the bedroom to the boardroom, our premium website offers thousands of hours of erotic stock footage.
Steamy general imagery.
Featuring Night Beast Industries' top models expressing hot animal desires. Filter your search by age.
Ooh, all legal.
Size.
Small or big.
Genders.
Anything goes.
Species.
Kinky.
Or more.
So much more.
Simply drop in our ready-made erotic stock footage and turn your ho-hum cinematic snooze fest into a sizzling sexcapade. Blast your coworkers in the face with a presentation that will pop their pleats and pump their petticoats.
Not safe for work.
Why compromise? Visit EroticStockFootage.com on the World Wide Web today. EroticStockFootage.com. EroticStockFootage.com.
Oh!
EroticStockFootage.com.
Yes!
EroticStockFootage.com.
A product of Night Beast Industries.
Well, let's talk about the unfortunate turn of events when KCDC and J-Tro have their spat.
Oh, man, this was tough.
Yeah, he has to leave. He can't see J-Tro go down this path, the path of rage.
He's buried too many tros, dog.
Mm-hmm. He's put him 6 feet deep.
Well, I mean, he feels like he has no choice. He's doing this to sort of like get J-Tro to see the error of his ways, basically.
Yeah.
And we see J-Tro start to lose it because his eyes glow red like AK-47, and we hear the cougar sound.
We didn't mention that, did we?
He's been rage dipping.
Yeah, that's the rage. We learn later that's the symbol of someone who's been, you know, dark force, raging. That's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not. Re-ninge. And Chris, what is rage dipping?
Oh, it's the opposite of re-ninging.
Great description. I mean, I have no other answer either, but...
I mean, that's... that's like AK-47's power, you know. He uses rage to win the beat offs, and everyone else, I mean, every time, I mean, what J-Tro needs to do is re-ninja. He doesn't need to power himself with the rage.
Yeah.
And that's why he loses.
Hey, and by the way, can I just give some mad props to KCDC real quick here?
Oh, hell yeah, you can.
Yeah.
So in the first movie, J-Tro leaves the FP after B-Tro dies. And Casey comes to get him. And in this movie, you know, like we just said, he leaves J-Tro to prove his point, and then he eventually, you know, like, finds him. And basically my point is, KCDC is like the glue that is holding this entire thing together when everyone else is totally screwing up and ready to quit. He's all about that beat, and he's all about, you know, making sure that people defend the FP. He's the glue of this entire franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
He's like the Samwise from Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Samwise of the FP.
He's going to go That's to, right. He's gonna go to Mordor right there with Frodo.
Yeah.
Frodo.
Nice.
It's the whole thing. If he can't beat off, he'll beat you on? Off. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that one.
So, okay, somebody said that AK-47 wins, right?
Yes.
Yep.
AK-47. And, well, you know, two ninjas roll in, one ninja rolls out.
AK-47 wins, and then not only does he win, but he takes J-Tro's soul.
Yeah.
The boots.
Well, souls.
The boots, right?
Yeah.
The boots.
The boots. Well, then sucks the power out.
Well, he tries to suck the soul, the S-O-U-L, but... Well, no, I didn't...
Well,
I
no, it kind of goes J-Tro out of him, and then it goes back into him, and AK's like, forget it.
Yeah, he just took it, then he just takes the souls.
Yeah, and this is the part that really confused me, because, correct me if I'm wrong here, up until this point, everyone who is lost has died, and J-Tro loses here, but he just seemingly sort of like crawls away and nothing really happens to him. So what am I missing here? Where's the disconnect?
Well, I think J-Tro's just so strong.
Well, that or there may be some sort of familial bond.
We'll get there, Chris. We'll get there. We'll get
there. Is this where you see it, though? No, this is where
it's getting close.
No, with B-Tro. He has... Oh,
yeah,
B-Tro.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, this is...
Yeah.
Oh, does that have something to do with it?
I think this is where B-Tro, like, says to pound him, bro.
Pound me, dog! Pound me now!
Pound me, J-Tro! Pound me now!
Yeah, this is the Star Wars ghost spirit scene where he's like, J-Tro is in the ghost realm with B-Tro and they're talking. And then J-Tro comes back and crawls away.
All right, so maybe the J-Tro thing had something to do with B-Tro's powers, like, being fused back in. I'm willing to look past it.
Thank you.
I was genuinely confused when that happened. Like, oh shit, he's gonna die, and then he didn't.
So J-Tro walks the wasteland, looking like a one-eyed Jesus.
Yeah, he does.
He really starts looking like Jesus here.
And I love where he ends up.
Where is it, Chris?
The place he goes is so good.
he ends up at the Chug Hole.
It is an RV bar in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, we've all been at the Chug Hole at some point.
And if you thought this movie was short on twists, this next part's for you. What's the twist here?
I'll take it.
Go.
Take it. Go, B-Bro.
P-Bro. P-Bro is my name. J-Tro goes to the Chug Hole to get a drink. He's down and out. He's been down and out basically this whole movie. And the bartender's talking to him. He's got this hood on. Pours him a drink, whatever. They're chatting. He whips his hood off. And it's J-Tro's dad. Yeah. And J-Tro clocks him immediately.
Yeah, he does.
Yes.
Fucking Nitro's back, baby.
And he talks, they actually do end up talking. And we get some backstory here, right? And now this there's a lot that comes out in this part here. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like Dadtro got together with this ninjawa named Chai Latte.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell in love.
Yeah.
And they had the kids, and when the ninjawas found out, they forced Nitro to go against Chai Latte in a beat off.
Right.
Chai Latte let him win, which cost her life, but the boys had to be cast out.
Well, they got time to escape is what I understood.
Okay.
As Nitro was able to get two of the boys out, but the third boy, Atro, got left behind because
There's a third?
There's a third.
Yeah.
There's a third Tro?
Yeah.
The evil Tro.
Well, who could that be?
This is new info to J-Tro.
Yes.
And us.
There is a third Tro.
Atro.
There's Atro, there's B-Tro, there's J-Tro.
It's revealed here as well who Atro is, right?
Yeah, they just say it. Go. Yeah, just out with it.
Atro is
AK-47. What?
I was genuinely shocked.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, same. Didn't expect that.
Well, you know, I mean, AK-47 called him Hermanos earlier, so...
He does speak a lot of Spanish, though.
Yeah.
That's a second watch sort of situation.
I think it's a little foreshadowing, though.
But guys, this is where we get a montage, a training montage.
Oh, the montage.
Well, ooh. Yes, and the thing that kicks off this montage is so amazing, because J-Tro's like, whatever, I don't even have my boots, I can't do anything against Atro, who's evil.
What, and he's wearing like milk jugs as sandals.
And so they go to the back of the Chug Hole, and Nitro pulls this tent flap aside, and there's Chai Latte's skeleton sitting there, his mother's skeleton sitting in a chair with these white fuzzy beat boots. And they were
boots.
Always the strongest boots.
My boots was not the only pair, yo. Nor was they the strongest, J-Tro. Your mother's was.
It cuts to J-Tro's feet, and it's one of the funniest parts of the movie. He's just wearing, like, paper on his feet or something.
No,
how is he not able to find any other boots in, like, 9 months?
It's smashed... fucking like half gallon jugs for milk. Yeah. They are smashed and they're like plastic wrapped around them. It is amazing.
It's so great.
Oh, yes. And then we get this awesome montage of him getting back on that horse.
They are really good at montages.
Do you know how awesome the montage is?
The montage has possibly the best line in cinematic history.
Oh, you're talking about the captions describing the montage?
I'm not, but... if I can say my line, then tell me about the captions.
All right, fair.
The line is...
Stop trying to beat off. Fucking beat off!
Well, that is a very good line, but imagine that under what the subtitles describe as squealing guitar montage.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely did these subtitles because it just... like, everything is like... every time there's Middle Eastern music playing, it's either like ominous Middle Eastern music or mysterious Middle Eastern music.
But Paul, I'm sure you also noticed that later in this montage, squealing guitar montage changes to dope montage song.
Yep. So good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, while all this stuff is going on with J-Tro and his dad, we kind of cut back to AK-47, who now owns the FP.
Yeah, he does.
And he gives a whole rousing speech about how he owns the FP and it's all his now, blah, 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 blah. And KCDC is there, kind of hooded, kind of yelling out like, you know, J-Tro this, J-Tro you suck, dog, and all this shit. And then there's this guy, kind of very vaguely transsexual, I guess, who looks a lot like Stacy's mom from the first FP, played by Sean Whalen, telling KCDC to shut the fuck up. Which brings me to another Whalen fact. Whalen facts. So, Sean Whalen was featured in the first season of B-Movie Mania pick, Tammy and the T-Rex. Now, Sean originally filmed... He was in Tammy and the T-Rex as a partygoer named Weasel who watched one of his best friends die from the T-Rex. Whalen facts.
All right, so what is Chai Latte up to next?
Being preggers.
Well, yeah, she's preggers. Because she's got J-Tro's baby, because AK's what? What again?
He's shooting blanks.
She is challenging AK-47 to buy J-Tro some time.
Can we also talk about how KCDC is trying to start a resistance against AK-47?
Yeah, he's starting like, the resistance.
Yeah, there's like three guys in the fucking resistance, and they all wander off.
Yeah, they're not really into it.
No.
No. But then Chai-T does challenge AK-47 to a beat-off to distract him long enough for J-Tro to show up.
Yep, because yes. AK-47 isn't expecting the unexpected.
J-Tro's not expecting the unexpected, J-Tro.
That's true.
That's right, that's true.
So yeah, he shows up, and, I mean, more or less just straight up challenges in...
J-Tro!
They don't even finish with Chai Latte. Or they don't, Chai Tea rather, they don't finish Chai Tea's beat off.
No, but J-Tro shows up and he just like jumps up on the pile of garbage and just yells A-Tro in a wonderful way. And then
it's so great.
And then they start beating off together.
When A-Tro's going off on him, he says,
"How about you shut the fuck up and dance, bitch?"
They start their beat off, right?
Yep.
And Paul, how's this go? This is big.
This is big. You know, obviously AK-47 slash A-Tro is a formidable opponent. And so J-Tro, you know, he's still a little bit on the rusty side. He hadn't been beaten off in a while. He is a little bit rusty here and is losing pretty bad. So things are looking grim. And then does he commune again with B-Tro?
Well, Paul, he's beginning to re-ninge, but he must re-ninge alone.
Yes, we've heard about this the entire movie about re-ninging, and finally it starts happening, and we see J-Tro, like, go full Palpatine on everybody with, like, all this lightning, like, shooting out of him for some reason. Or maybe shooting into him, I'm not sure.
I thought it was into him. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, that would make more sense. It's like the beat electricity like flowing through him. And he has re-ninged.
Yeah.
Well, he also has his mama's boots.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. He's got his mama's boots. So he's got everything working in his favor now. And he beats A-Tro.
Yeah. And my favorite thing is when he hits the big stomp at the end. There's a shot where it's pointed up at J-Tro, and he hits that stomp, and Solo cups go flying all over in the air behind him.
I didn't notice.
It's just these little details that are so funny that they do.
If you had donated to a certain level in the Kickstarter, you would have been part of the Silver Screen Muggers, as they were called, and been part of the movie in the background of that scene, and gotten to throw those Solo cups up. So... next time, Trost has got a fucking Kickstarter, fucking donate, man.
Hey, FP5. Yeah,
shit, you guys. I mean, if they're doing this in California, I need to get into one of these things.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll look into it.
So, after the dance, AK does not die.
No, he doesn't either.
Right.
No. He, in fact, starts snorting some souls.
Yep.
They start like A-Tro and J-Tro start physically fighting. I mean, up until this point, like most of the disagreements and everything, or most of the tension has been resolved via beat. But now, like, just it's everything has spilled over, and it's like a slugfest.
Like, they are finally finished beating off. There's no more beating off.
Now they're fisting each other.
Okay.
And so, Atro loses at first, takes some of the dust, starts beating up everybody in sight.
Yeah.
And that's when Beatro comes back.
Beatro comes back and kind of inspires J-Tro again.
Yeah.
But not before Atro is allowed to say my second favorite line of the film. Which is, open wide, cactus cooler.
Call that 187. Open wide, cactus cooler.
What was that?
Which is my favorite soda. That's my favorite soda. So,
why does he call him cactus cooler?
I don't know. Because they like though. It's California. That's where you can get that soda. So they probably said it.
Oh yeah, it's so true.
I gotta say though, I really real quick one little detail I noticed is when AK is winning the fist fight for a little while. And then he knocks down J-Tro. Then he starts punching the crowd.
Yeah.
And like one of the guys he punches was just going for a high five.
I didn't catch that.
I didn't either.
So
that's great.
Oh my God.
Probably some pretty good rewatch value on both FP movies.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Once J-Tro actually wins after the vision of Beatro, Atro. He doesn't die, but they haul him off to beat prison, right?
You can't skip the drop kick.
Oh,
the drop kick.
Yes, Mike, talk about the drop kick.
Mention the fact that fucking his finish him move, KC's just like, finish him! And J-Tro jumps in the air and like in a Sam Raimi comedy, his camera behind the feet just flies through the air and into the chest of Atro. And it is fucking amazing.
Oh, and it's everything so is slow motion. And even the triumphant music that's jamming slows down for that shot.
Yeah. And it's so comical. It's like he's obviously in the air longer and it doesn't visually quite make sense, but it's fucking funny as hell.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is another bookend right here. Atro lands in a wheelbarrow.
Yes, he does, baby. Yeah. And I believe with the shot that it is definitely a dummy that falls onto the wheelbarrow. And it's so good. It's so ragdolled. It's really funny.
Oh, God.
Yes.
And J-Tro takes back the FP.
Yeah.
He does.
And I'm going to tell you, I would not mind. I don't know what they got planned for 3 and 4, but if Atro comes back, I would not mind.
Oh, yeah. Atro's. Oh. I don't think that story is
over. He's not done. He's going to the Baco, and I have, I believe what I've read on, Jason Trost's descriptions of stuff, is that Baco, which I believe is short for Bakersfield, is part of something in the future, 3 or 4, I don't know, but nice. I believe he's mentioned it more than just this.
They set it up a little bit.
Yeah. There is also a throwaway moment that I just want to mention that KCDC once J-Tro drops kicks AK-47, KCDC goes, flawless victory! And someone in the crowd, in the subtitle says, crowd member. And they go, I guess? Because J-Tro got his ass kicked before. It was not a flawless victory. It was fucking brilliant. Because that's what was going on in my head. And then someone in the crowd in the movie says what I was thinking. And it was fucking brilliant.
That's great. So pretty much everything ends on a happy note. Yeah. J-Tro gets together with Chai T. They're going to have a Sheila, right?
Well, yeah. Who they named Chai-Tro.
Chai-Tro.
That's true.
As Chai-Tro. You see in the after credit scene.
Hang around for after the credits. That's right. We have Nitro, who's they roll together. They live together.
That
changes. We didn't really mention that. That's from the first movie. With Beatro and J-Tro, they have a term where they say, or a phrase, we roll together, we die together. That's the thing that you do in the FP. Mm-hmm. And now they change it. You roll together, you live together.
Yep, so dad's back.
I hope they literally live together in the same house in 3. Like,
would you be surprised at all?
No, they probably will be.
And he says, I've got a feeling our adventures have only just begun.
I got a feeling our adventures have only just begun.
Hell yeah. Like that Back to the Future to be continued.
And then everyone gets wasted off the Quattro.
That's right, baby. And then credits roll. And the subtitles then read, "Dope End Movie Music."
Yep.
So
I really got to go back and watch it with the subtitles.
Oh my God, yeah. it's very good.
Oh my God, yeah.
I don't know how you did this movie without the subtitles, to be honest with you. The lingo is so thick.
Yeah.
It was all right. Well, I got to say one thing I loved about the end credits is that we see that Sean Whalen was in this movie.
Oh, yeah?
Which brings me to a final Whalen fact. Whalen facts. Sean was cast by Rob McElhenney to play the role of McPoyle in the episode McPoyle vs. Ponderosa, The Trial of the Century for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Now, this episode is especially notable for featuring Guillermo del Toro, who just really can't get over his disappointment in his son. Whalen facts.
Woo! Let's talk about that post-credit sequence.
We've got a kid.
it's the same daughter, right?
Chytro.
Yeah. I mean, like, father-like daughter, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. Now, I think it's a bookend of... I think Jatro is saying the same thing to his daughter that his dad said to him on the top of Fraser Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
So he's explaining the rage and the re-ninj.
Yeah, more in depth, right? Like, he's saying, like, the re-ninj is our... He literally says the re-ninj is our god.
Yeah.
And so, like, that... He puts it in that defined context.
It's very spiritual.
Which is very interesting to me. That this is going to become more than just like a frame of a state of mind, but an actual god, perhaps.
Well, this could be really cool because, I mean, if they take a page out of Richard Linklater's playbook for the Before trilogy and they do these movies every 9 years, then like Jatro might be too old to beat off.
Paul, if... As the elder statesman of the B-Movie Maniacs, I am going to say you are never too old to beat off.
Rating time, bitches.
My plan here is to follow what I think the movie would want me to do.
Yeah,
and go with the most obvious. We're going to rate this 1 to 100 beat-offs. Mike?
Well, guys, there was a question I wanted to... I mean, you snuck in this ratings thing. I mean... Appropriately timed, Jay, please. All respect to you. But there was a question I kind of wanted to pose to you guys. Do you think you could watch this movie and follow along well enough without having seen the first?
No.
Yeah,
do you want a real answer to that? Because I watched this with my neighbor, and by the end of it, she looked like blood was going to shoot out of her nose.
That's what I wanted to know. That's what I, because I feel like you need the context. Like, I feel like it does a good job at world building, but I think it's such an insane Land of College Prophets level of world building. You kind of need to see the first one.
Well, I was about to disagree with Paul, because I don't remember the first one very much at all. But I guess I already kind of knew the context of it, so I remember that much. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Well, either way, this movie's so fucking good. Jason Trost is fucking re-ninjas, man. Like, he's got it. He's got this world in his head. It's like that Land of College Prophets shit, right? Like, he's got all the mythos in it, and it's so full of mythos, and it doesn't dumb it down for you. It doesn't say let me ease into this and help a viewer who maybe doesn't understand what's going on. It just says, hey, welcome to the world. Here it is. You're dropped in and you have to witness this world. And it's fucking great. I have nothing but good things to say about it. I can't even... it's fucking great. So I'm going to give it double AKs. So I'm going to give it a double AK-47. So it's what, 94.
Nice.
Wow.
Very good. All right. Very good.
All right.
Paul, you want to rate this in your own way, right? So what do you got?
Mike's absolutely right. They not only do they have the mythos down, obviously, but they build on the mythos in this movie. I mean, they keep expanding the world of the FP, which is always a good thing. And I am a sucker for people, independent filmmakers putting their heart and soul into something, and it shows in every frame of this movie, you know, like I mentioned before with the production design and like you guys said, you know, about the actors committing to everything. It's a joy to watch filmmakers put something like this together and make it super fun to watch. I am going to diverge a little bit from the beat-off situation, and I am going to go, ladies, I'm so sorry, but it's 84 floppy twat legs.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. Chris, are you going to bring us back to a beat-off here?
Yeah, we'll see where I end up at the end of this review here. I thought I was going to come in here and be the lowest score on this. Because I mean, a movie like this, I agree with Paul. I agree with Mike. I really see the appeal of this sort of movie. But I really wanted to like this one more. It's got a similar aesthetic to something like, you know, Turbo Kid and Manborg, which we did last season or two seasons ago or whenever. But I didn't, it was missing something that really put it onto that next level of like of those movies for me. I mean, there's a lot to like in this movie. AK-47 was great. The beat-off tournament. The soundtrack. We didn't really talk about the music. We never talk about the music. But the music was fantastic. I loved it.
It was dope.
Sort of thing. Yeah. It's a fucking killer soundtrack, yo. You know, I was really looking forward to this movie going into it. But I got to rate it lower than I thought. So I'm kind of go with Paul and rated 84 floppy twat legs.
That's all right. That's not a terrible review. What about you, Jay?
Okay, so...
Oh, no. I know it's not a terrible review. It's great. I love the movie, but not as much as I thought.
It's an epic movie.
Yeah.
It's got good characters, an interesting plot, and like I said, the actors really had to go for this, the language style, and they just nailed it. I don't know if I've ever seen low budget constraints used better in any movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because even movies like Turbo Kid and stuff like that, they've got more money than Jason Trost has for these movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I called it sort of garbage punk, is that they use the whatever they have in hand, plastic bottles strung up everywhere. tiki torches, heads of dolls, and you know, they just combine all of this and somehow it all works in this like uniform way. So I would watch FP2 with anybody right now. I suggest it to anybody who likes B movies, and I definitely want to see 3 and 4. I definitely want to see what Jason Trost has up his sleeves. And I also really enjoy the fact that he is in control of all of this. This is his thing. He does it his way, and that's the way he wants to keep it. And I like that. So I am going to give this 95 beat offs.
Hell nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Love this movie.
Jay, you mentioned, you know, that he does everything his way and all that kind of stuff. I would like to point out, A, we didn't mention that you can get this on Amazon right now. Currently FP2 streaming on Amazon.
Yep.
The first one's on Tubi. So you can get them there, but also on Amazon, one of the perks for the Kickstarter for just to raise money for 3 and 4, JTRO re-released FP2 Blu-ray. And if you put a certain amount of money in, you got certain things, blah, 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 blah. One of the fucking things he did was made a Duck Fit workout video.
Yes, dude, I watched those.
Yeah.
Ducks are a big thing in the first movie. They don't really mention them in the second much. But in the first movie, it's a big fucking thing.
There are a lot of duck references.
And well, yeah. But like, it's like a fucking like real big point in the first movie.
Yeah.
And so like, he's got this Duck Fit thing, and it is just a straight fucking workout video that Jason Trost put you through, and it is on Amazon Prime.
It's a 4-parter, and each one is like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They're short. I kind of just had to look at it to see what it was, and it just works on one part of your body at a time, and he actually gives you decent length breaks in between the exercises. From what it looks like.
And
so you can get ripped like JTRO.
Yeah, and if you haven't watched this yet, JTRO is fucking ripped. He's a good, good looking boy.
Jeez.
Well, guys, I thank you for going through the FP with me, and hopefully you didn't get any wet shit all over you.
only the drool from my mouth from watching J-Tro during those montages.
I got bottomless booze for Evs. That's all I got.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Hey, Chris, real quick.
What's that, Paul?
I picked Turbulence 3. Jay picked FP2. You got to pick a part one of something.
That's a good point.
That's true.
All right. Fair enough. I will pick a part one. And not only a part one, but I'm going to do a B-Movie Mania first. I am picking an Oscar award-winning movie.
What?
Whoa.
This is amazing.
Hold on.
This is going to be amazing. So,
is that legal?
Alex?
No.
Alex?
Perfectly legal?
Alex, stop him, Alex.
Producer Alex, is that legal?
I am. Okay, so as we record this, the Oscars just happened, right? And so I am picking the winner. I honestly don't know why they let a movie from 1982 compete in the awards this year. But I am picking Oscar award winning, the best picture, Parasite. It's a Charles Band movie from 1982. I don't know.
This is a good bit, actually, Chris.
I really don't know.
Producer Alex.
I have
no idea.
Chris,
hold on. Chris, you cannot pick. This is B-Movie Mania. You cannot pick the movie that just won Best Picture
Oscars. I'm picking Parasite. And like I said, I don't know why they let a movie from 1982 win the 2020 Best Picture Award at the Academy Awards. And Charles Band, you can't go wrong with him. Also, it's Demi Moore's first movie.
Huh. Well,
Demi Moore?
Yeah. So, it's available. Yeah. It's available on Amazon Prime. And I am just really excited to talk about what makes this movie so good. It would win a fucking Academy Award for Best Picture like 40 years later.
Paul.
Wow. I don't understand it.
I don't
know
if you saw this, Paul.
This is what we're doing.
We were asking producer Alex, like, what the fuck? You saw his face of just let it go. He's waving us on. Just let him do it. You know, that's what that.
Chris talked to Alex before
that
the
makes
show.
Sense. That makes sense. Chris, great pick. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I'm excited.
Hey, if Demi Moore's in it, I'm on board.
It's her first movie. It's great. And it's Charles Band. You can't go wrong with the band.
Yeah. Hey, I'll beat off to it.
We don't have to beat off anymore, Mike.
Oh, no? Oh.
Mike, no, don't unzip your pants.
No,
what are you
Mike,
doing?
Mike, what are you doing?
No, this is a totally different
thing.
No.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Mike left, but we have to talk about if you liked this episode of B-Movie Mania. We would really appreciate it if you showed us a little bit of love by rating us or leaving a review on iTunes. 5 stars is preferable. Whatever you got to do, we'll take it.
I left.
Good night, everybody.
Buy a fucking t-shirt.
Yeah, we got those new Slade Craven t-shirts out, and you know you want to pick one up. You're not. You left. Bye.
Be at peace, bro. Remember, we're proud of you. We all is.